Okay, so two Shemitah cycles ago, so 14 years ago. What? Yes, four score and, right, two sabbaticals ago. That's it. Fine, two sabbaticals ago when I was in, two sabbaticals ago then, I was in yeshiva. And as you guys have here, Mordechai will be our guinea pig. We have guys giving chaburas.
Yes.
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 Ready?
Yes.
Week and a half. I'm very excited.
I'm pretty much ready.
Good. So at the time, we were doing that as well in yeshiva, specifically on Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, night seder is a little bit thrown off. You know, candlelighting and all that, as you know. So we had self-organized student-led chaburas. We had like a round robin where everyone gave chaburas for a few hours late at night, and that was how we like made up for our, you know. And I gave a chabura on this topic, on what we're about to look at, which is, can you use oil, which is kadosh, for kedushat shvi'it, for lighting Hanukkah candles. Now, I will give you a disclaimer. Halachically, this is not relevant for you this year because fruit, things that grow on the tree, right? This will be theoretically relevant next year, right? I don't know how much it's going to be relevant at all, but in theory, it'll be relevant next year. But, you know, as things go, despite the fact that it's halachically relevant next year, now is when people are more likely to be thinking about it, but we're also learning the sugyot. So I figured, let us at least get a bit of an overview of the sugya. It's also a nice sugya because it opens up several topics, both in the context of Hanukkah and in the context of Shvi'it. So since people want a Hanukkah sugya, and I like to as much as possible stick to the steps that we're in, it's a compromise. Compromise for me. Also, what I gave you, and I didn't know there would be an hour of announcements, so it worked out well that I gave this to you. Anyways, what I gave you is Rishon Zalman's Shuvah, because I also want to get you used to, you know, not that you can do it all the time, but understand how to read a Shuvah, especially one as conceptually organized and rigorous as Rav Shlomo Zalman. This was also, I think, the first Shuvah I ever read by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach when I was preparing this Chabura. Okay, good. So, can you use oil that is kadosh, b'kdushat shvi'i, for Hanukkah candles? So what questions do you have to ask yourself to figure out?
Is it considered a waste?
So we have a lot of issues we've got to deal with. So why is that relevant? Mordechai says it's not wasting. Good. So why is that relevant?
Because you can't waste.
Good. Because, and this is, part of it is I wanted to use this to open up sugyot, because as we will see, what are you allowed to do with things that are kadosh b'kdushat shvi'it? This is the eighth perek.
Eat them.
Thank you. You can eat them, and certain things are more expanded that you can do that are extensions of the eating criteria, right? Lo'ochla v'lo lehefseid. What it definitely cannot be done is eating and not for destruction. Okay? Very good. So you've got to figure out whether this is mutar. Now let me ask you, are you allowed to... Well, okay. You need to figure out in that context. Okay, so first question, you're allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have saved. Is this have saved? Right, so you're going to have to ask yourself that question, right? Is burning it considered hefsed? And then you need to subdivide that question, which is, right, you need to figure out what hefsed is, and you have to distinguish, because this is not regular lighting. What type of lighting is this?
It's
Hanukkah lighting, which you thought the chad might be better, you might think it's better because of the mitzvah. But as Mordechai already notices, it might be worse, because not only is this, because you can't benefit from it. How do you know you can't benefit from it? Right? What? Like 440-ish? If you light it shkia, it's like 440. If you light it face, it's like 510. 5, 5, 10. Mashu. Well, remember, in Israel, it's a much shorter period. That's why, right? In America, the... Yes, right. In America, most people follow Rav Moshe, wait like 50 minutes, more or less, between Shkia and Seis. Here it's about 30, again, depends, winter, summer. 5:45. What? Good. So Josh says, and maybe it's different because it's Derabanan, but as we know, the Shemitah's Bizman Hashem might be Derabanan, right? Oh, so then Kobi said, but wait a second, we got to figure out, it's a mitzvah. Is mitzvah benefiting? And then you have to ask, well, is it? Kobi says, well, it's a mitzvah. How does that not benefit? But there's a rule that floats around that complicates it, which is called mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. Mitzvot are not given for benefit. Right, yeah, we say that that's not the case, right? We formally said it's not true. So good. So the reason I want to put this in there. Right. So, no. That's true for some Torah. So then Josh says maybe there's a difference between the regular and Mahadran, Yacholiot, right? So maybe bare minimum. Okay, good. Right? So like I said, as you can tell right off the bat, right? As you can tell right off the bat, this small little halakhic sugya forces us to ask about a lot of little issues, which are big issues, right? Which obviously we will be taking up as we go through Shvi'it. But as you can see, this one little shayla has many, many, many implications. Okay? So what I want to do is, we're not only going to do Rosh Hashanah Zalman, but what I want to do is get you used to reading one rigorous line of argumentation. So I gave you Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Anything else, I will bring in as we go along. Okay? But before we start reading Rosh Hashanah Zalman, I'm going to give you just a slight bit of right background. So as we said, the eighth parak in Shvi'it tells you that you're allowed to eat. So now, Mordechai, right off the bat, so you tell me, are you allowed to light... Are you allowed to light Shemitah oil on fire? No. Just look at me. Yes or no?
No.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. See, sorry.
Yes.
No, sir. Good. So as we said, no. So in general, the Mishnah says you can. That's right. That is actually not in dispute. Right? Again, this is not an issue, and I won't read it to you, right? You can look at it up in your Shvi'it, but if you open up the eighth parak, I'm debating whether when we get back from break, we should do Achila or Malacha. I don't know which one to do first, right? Because Achila is a bit of an easier sugya. So the Mishnah on the eighth parak tells you that Mishnah Bet, Shvi'it nalachila l'shti'a l'sicha. You're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to drink it. You're allowed to anoint with it. Lochal davar shadochal lochal. Eat the things that are normally eaten. V'lasuch davar shadarko lasuch. And anoint with things that are meant to be anointed. V'lo yasuch yain v'chometz. Don't anoint yourself with wine or vinegar. Because, you know, weird. Right? Also, like, weird, right? You're going to come in. It's like, you smell like Merlot. Why do you smell like Merlot? Yes, exactly. Aval sach et ha-shemen, but you get, what? Yes, oh. You smell like vinegar. Apple cider vinegar, specifically. Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. V'chein b'truma u'maiser sheni, and the same thing is true of truma and maiser sheni. Kal mehen shvi'it, and shmita is more lenient than these. Shenitna l'hadlakat haner. You are allowed to light candles with it. Okay. So as we're going to see as we go through the sugya, and again, what I'm doing today is the way I want you to imagine this sugya is that we're both learning the local sugya and reminding ourselves of all the sugyas we have to still cover in Shvi'it. Okay, so here's right the first thing is that yes, it's for achila, and yet by Shemitah, you are allowed to use it as explicit Mishnah for lighting candles. Now, what's the argument? Why is this true? So again, we're opening up the sugya, but you tell me why. Where would we get such a source? What do you think the Gemara is going to tell us? So what? It's still not eating. Why is that okay? So what Gemara ends up saying is that, and we find this in other places in Halacha, that sometimes we expand the notion of what is considered eating to benefit or whatever, something like that, to include things that are normally benefit. And Shemitah is one of those cases. Now, can you give me another example where this is true? What is another case where the fundamental rule is l'ochla, is to eat it, and nevertheless, we have certain expansions that are clearly not eating?
I'm trying to remember whether that thing is your chametz or whether chametz...
No, chametz definitely not. It's usur to benefit in any way, shape, or form, right? But at a time where it's necessary, it's only mutter to eat it, but we expand the definition of eating.
Oh, I was thinking the opposite.
I want the mutter case, like Shemitah, right? Where it's usur unless you're eating it, and yet we expand the notion of eating. Where else do we have a model like that in halacha? Huh? Not bad. Karbanot, not bad, right? But we do have a similar model. There it's actually more restrictive, right? Also more restrictive. Good example of where there's only a hetzer to eat it and not do something else. Where do we have a model similar to this, though? Where eating provides heter and eating is expanded. So truma is, right, close to it, where you can only burn. There's a specific leg of truma that you can burn, and that's truma tmeya, but not truma tahora, right? So truma is, as we'll see, a little bit different. But there is one. No, that was what the missionary just said, not Heiser Shani. Kalman, Shemitah is more makel, eh? Come on. The main sugya is not in Chagiga, but... Come on. The main sugya is a Mishnah in the first parak of Megillah. The sugya and the Gemara is on Dav Zayin. Is this helping me? Dav Zayin? Ain Bain. Remember the Ain Bain? Remember the Ain Bain Mishnah? Thank you, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Josh. Ain Bain Shabbat Liyom Tov El Ochel Nefesh Bilvat. The difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov you're allowed to do things that are related to food. Ochel Nefesh. How do we know that? What's the pasuk? It is a pasuk. Ah, asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh l'chem. That which is for food alone, thou shalt do. Right? Anyum. Right? What parsha is that in?
Mishpat.
What? Not Mishpat, yeah?
Emor?
Very good. Yay. Yes, it is an Emor. Right? Right, the Yom Tovim and Vayikra Chum Gimel, Chum Dalet, right, that area, okay, right, several prokim, right, as we know, right, starting at Revi. In Emor, we start talking about Yom Tov. Very good, thank you. Oh, now, by Yom Tov. So, by Yom Tov, are you only allowed to do malacha for food?
No.
No, right? How do you know? Anyone ever, I don't know, burn something, lit something on fire on Yom Tov that wasn't for food and was mutter?
Yeah.
Oh, Yom Tov candles, remember? Right? That's why this is one of those mistakes that people get wrong all the time, and it annoys me to no end because it's obviously wrong, right? It's just like, it, right, is the this thing, right? Right? On Shabbos, why do we do this?
To break the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, not to do that, but because, right, there's a chumrah. Right? That is quoted by the Gaonim. That when a woman lights the candles, what happens? She starts Shabbos. Right? So what's the problem? Right? Or, right? So if she, right, says the bracha, there's a shita in the Gaonim, rather, that when she says the bracha, she started Shabbos. The problem is if she says the bracha. Normally, when should you say a bracha?
Before.
Over, right? All bracha on mitzvot are, what's the rule? Over l'asiyata. Right? Before they are done. Right? The problem is that if you think that you start Shabbos by saying the bracha, so then when you say the bracha... Correct. So the compromise that we come up with is that, right, it's the Ashkenazi minhag, is that you light the candles, close your eyes. This way you lit the candles, but you're not benefiting from them yet, right? And then you say the bracha before you benefit. Right? That's where that compromise comes up from. Right? The problem is that only makes sense on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you, right, you're not allowed to light fire. On Yom Tov, you are allowed to light fire. right? Only midrabbanan, you can't light a new flame because of the midrabbanan of molid, right? But havara, lighting a flame, is mutter, and therefore, really, you, on Yom Tov, you should say the bracha, right? If you, right, you could, right, let's say light the match, say the bracha, and then light the candles, right? Because you're allowed to light new, right? You're allowed to spread flames, so there's no reason to do that, right? So you should go revert to the normal rule of over last yatan, right? Okay. Anyway, where does that heter come from? Where does that idea come from? Why are you allowed to do that? Because Ochel Nefesh is expanded, that we start with food, and then certain malachot are expanded through a principle known as mitoch. Mitoch shehutra l'tzorech, hutra nami shelo l'tzorech. Because it was permitted for Ochel Nefesh, it's expanded to non-Ochel Nefesh context. I'm oversimplifying a machloket. It's machloket Rashi Tosfot and other Rishonim, but let's focus for the moment. There's a machloket Rashi Tosfot and basic Daf Yud-Bet. Exactly the parameters of that. Okay, not for now. But the point is that we expand Ohel Nefesh to include other bodily enjoyments beyond one of them, which includes lighting a fire for light, for warmth, for whatever. Right?
It's possible
Havar is unique. The Rambam thinks Havar is unique. Right? It might be that there are only two malachot that mitoch applies to. That's the Rambam. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. Whoa. So Josh says, but wait a second. You're right, you have a model like that, but Shemitah might not be identical. Guess what? You're right, Shemitah might not be identical, and that's what we're going to try to figure out. So, right? So there, we know that there is a model by Ochel Nefesh where we expand Sreifa, right, from within the confines of Ochel Nefesh, however exactly we do that lamdishly, right? And we know by Shemitah there is a heter to eat and there's a heter to light a flame. But as Josh correctly notes, if we want to figure out whether on Hanukkah this is going to be mutter, we need to figure out, are those, does it happen to be that in both cases food is mutter and lighting a fire is mutter, or are they somehow conceptually parallel such that we could learn from one to the other? Very good. There's another problem, which is that on, let's take Yom Tov as a model for a second, okay? On Yom Tov, is it possible to take an act which should be mutter and then make it usser by designating it specifically for a problematic purpose?
No.
Yes. Okay. Answer is yes. Right. I remember Rav Lachman saying one. When I was in yeshiva, he asked someone, is this obvious? And the person said, yes. And Rav Lachman said, let me give you a clue. If I'm asking you the question, is this obvious? The answer is almost always no. Okay? Yeah, no. There you go. So the answer to this one is, right, there are cases. What are the cases? So there are several. So for example, are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov? Yes. Are you allowed to cook for a non-Jew on Yom Tov?
No.
So, according to, so why is that true? If you're allowed to cook, how could it, well, once it's mutter, the answer is, cooking for a non-Jew, because it is not within the rubric of Ochel Nefesh, specifically excludes it from Ochel Nefesh. Right? Again, am I oversimplifying complicated figure? Yes, obviously I am. Right? Obviously I am. If you would like a nice discussion, you can look at the beautiful Chuvot Avnei Miluim on the Sugya. It's just wonderful. It's the Avnei Miluim. There's a Chuvot of the Avnei Miluim. Avnei Miluim. Same person who wrote the Ketzos. So if you look in the Avnei Miluim, which is his parish in Ebenezer, but at the end there are tshuva. He has a tshuva on this. I believe it's tshuva Yud Zion. Wonderful alumnus. Great. What is another one which is usher, which is going to be possibly more relevant for our sugya? Yeah? Lashem is also usher. Right? Bringing it as a karban is also usher. Right, so shechting on chag is mutter, but for a karban, it's not. Certain karban, it might be, and the parameters of that is subject to machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right? But in principle, unless you have a heter because it's bizmana, right? It's a karban which is based on the day. Exactly, it's the Hashem below la gavoa, right? God for God is actually worse. Now, does the Gemara say is that true of all karbanot? Yes, it says there are some karbanot that is not the case of, and the Gemara even has a kavah homer. What do you mean? I'm feeding myself. I can't feed God's shulchan. But the point is, there is a model. What? Oh, so now Kobe gets all fancy on me and says, oh, but what if there's something which is for a mitzvah but also benefits me? On Yom Tov, we call that a shlomim. And guess what? There's a machlok b'hilchos Beis Shammai exactly about that, because what's different about a shlomim versus an ola? You bring it for God, but then you eat part of it. So I bring it for God. Guess what? There's a machlok tanaim, right? So Kobe is already thinking ahead and said, well, wait a second. What if Hanukkah candles, well, maybe it's usher to use them, maybe I can benefit, oh, maybe after half an hour, maybe da-da-da-da-da-da, what exactly is the nature, how much is it prohibited for me to use, yada, 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 right? Kobe's thinking in exactly the right direction, is what about complicated cases, where it's primarily for a mitzvah, but there might even benefit, da-da-da-da-da, right? You understand how, right, you're bringing it all together, what do we need to do to figure out this, yeah? We need to define the parameters of Le'ochla and Adlakat Ne'er An, Shvi'ez. We need to figure out the parameters of the Isser Hana'ah of using Hanukkah candles, which, right, is the Gemara and Shabbos Chaf Aleph, but as we all know from Haner Halalu, right, where we, Jews were sometimes weird, right, we have this nice joyous tune of, and these are prohibited to benefit, right, from them, da, da, right, and that, okay, we're a very weird religious at times, right, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's weirder than, I am guilty, right? I have committed treason, right? I mean, like, okay, we're weird sometimes. I don't know what you want, right?
Yeah.
Okay, again, Ashamnu. We have become guilty, we have committed treason, we have stolen, we have
like,
we have committed illicit sexual relationships, we have become spiritually desolate, we've given bad advice, we've lied, what? Yeah, we do all sorts of weird things, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great, right? We do this all the time. So that's one of those things. Right, like the candles. I mean, you translate English, you're like, the candles that we light are forbidden to benefit. The candles that we light are forbidden, right? We have no permission to use them. I mean, like, what are you doing? Right? Like, I mean, whatever. Hey, there are worse. I'm not saying it's worse, right? Jewish music has this problem in general, and this I'm okay with, because you know what? For me, it's like, oh, we're singing about a halakhic category. I can deal with that, right? It's not as bad as, like, songs that are like, you know, songs where either those songs should never, those psukim should never have been turned into songs, or the one, right? Yeah, that one. Right, that one is the worst. Yes. It's like an old song, except the pasuk in context is about people encouraging each other to do avodah zarah. So it's a really bad idea that we turn that into a pasuk. It's really bad. But then they're like, but also, like, what was it, the Yeshiva Boy Scouts from years ago, they had this, like, very upbeat song to Elu Mishamana Im Chaveru Lidvar Mitzvah V'hu Lo Nimna Imahem. You know this? Do you remember this? Was like 10 years ago. It was like lihima note, lihima lot, mi boile, and like it's this very, very joyous tune. Lihima note, I can't do it because you know Yeshiva voice choir is like, in general, my voice doesn't go that high, but that's like shrieky. So like whatever, but it's this very joyous tune. It means these are people who friends tried to get him to do a mitzvah with them, and they chose not to do it with them, right? Like, that's what it means. It's a terrible, it's a line of the Gemara of saying people who have no, can never get forgiveness. That's the context of the Gemara. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? So yeah, Ashamnu is not that bad, but you know. Ma'os Tur, to be fair, is fine. Ma'os Tur, it's like, I mean, it's not really a Hanukkah song. I mean, one of six stanzas is a Hanukkah song. You can just as easily sing it on Pesach or Purim, right? Right, the fifth one is, not the second to last one. Right, I mean, it's not a Hanukkah song, but you could also sing it at your Seder, and it would be... You could sing it on Purim, you could sing it on Pesach, right? Could we, right, there's a paragraph at Pesach. No, it's fine. First of all, Israeli kids have all these songs. So many songs. Right? Right? Trust me, my kids come back singing all of them. My little, you know, my three-year-old, who doesn't really understand Hebrew yet, right? But this is how they started, right? Because, you know, in Gan, that's how my kids learn Hebrew, right? And now Hanukkah is like just 2 million songs. Yeah. Right? And not just the vicious anti-religious ones. That they don't say. Right?
Yes.
Miyim Halel Gvurot Yisra. Yes, it was written as an anti-religious song. Because the original, okay, parentheses now. That song, correct, remember, what's the original pasuk? Miyim Halel Gvurot Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tilato. Who can, right? So the anti-religious early secular Zionist said, how can we take Hanukkah, which is about recognizing God, and going against Hellenizers and taking a turn on its head? I know, let's take a pasuk about God and take God out of it actively and put people in it. So they said, Miyim Halel Gvurot Yisrael. Right, that's what they did. What? What? Well, they were talking, right, anyway. Don't you know that was, they, as part of that, okay, you understand the earlier, yes, do you know what else the earlier Zionists, the secular Zionists did? No, but I mean on Hanukkah. No, they...
They
could mimic the Greeks instead of the Jews. Yes! Yes! They were really intent on this stuff. It was crazy. Oh, they did that too, yes. Yeah, they did do that, yes. Oh, for sure. Right, and then, you know... okay, I will read you... I will read you, that was one song, but let me just read you a different poem from that so you understand, right? This is by Aram Zev. It goes like this. This is an actual Hanukkah poem, okay? Nes lo kara lanu, right? A miracle did not happen to us. Pech pach shemen lo matanu. We did not find oil. Le'emak halachnu. Right, we walked through the valley, Hahara Alinu. That is actually a line in a poem, right? That is how they celebrated Hanukkah. Yeah. What?
Yeah, they're not just
non-religious. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And then it's very fun. I can send you stuff on this later. I gave this once in the shir. This was like the anti-shir. It was called the anti-shir. It was called the secular Zionist Hanukkah. Fun times. It was so much fun. Okay, fine. So, right, so... But in addition to the Shemitah thing, what my point is that what we need to do is we ask about the nature of the Isser to use the oil such that it would be relevant in our sugya, right?
But I have never seen it struggling because that goes on Hanukkah.
I think we moved on from that, but yeah, quickly.
Like, let's say they have, like, I find that, like, anti-religious mocking, but they actually make
that's not an actual question. You're asking me theoreticals. That's not what they did. What they did do is they made up anti-religious songs, right, and had the Olympics. I don't know. It's Kavana Shalo L'Kayim HaMitzvah. That should probably work. Okay? They will not seem a kind of mitzvah. Okay? Fine. So with all this in the background, what you see very quickly is that the question of whether you can use Shemitah oil for Ner Hanukkah forces you to ask a lot of questions about the nature of Shemitah and the nature of Hanukkah. So like I said, what I want to do is teach you how to read an extended argument, right? Someone's on here making an extended argument. He's not the only position, and we'll note where he's not. But I want to show you how, also, Rosh Hashanah is great because he takes the issues very methodically, deals with conceptual questions. Okay? So let's look. Fine. So first he starts off by surveying a few of the positions. So he quotes, Katav HaRidvaz. The Ridvaz writes the Ta'at HaShulchan. Who is the Ta'at HaShulchan? Who is he? What is this? Who is this guy? Who is he? The Ridvaz V'Ta'at HaShulchan. Not even close. Who is he? Oh, God. Wait, go, Kobe. Bio. Ta'at HaShulchan. There you go. 1845, 1913. Very recent, yeah? Very good, right? And he writes a Ta'at HaShulchan, which is on Halachot of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Fine. And he writes, Asur lavlik shemesh shviyach al ner Hanukkah, asur lishamesh le'ora. Va'atorah amra le'ochla v'lo lehefseh. So right off the bat, the Ta'at HaShulchan paskins like Mordechai. He says, what do you mean? The rule is le'ochla v'lo lehefseh. So now you'll say, what about the fact that you're allowed to light candles? What will you have to say? That you're allowed to normally light candles? You'll have to say, right, that when you benefit from it, so then it's a subset of achila. But when it's usher to get hana, so then it's not, right? So Hashem says, and that's what he says, v'chein b'adim p'shita the goner of Meir Arizal, v'shud Imre Yosher, d'valeh, so that's the position of the Imre Yosher as well, of the Meir Arik. You want bio on it? Kobe, you want to give us the bio of Meir Arik?
Mayor.
You can probably have your phone, you know.
Mayor. That's why I still have it.
Exactly, to be our bio person.
Mayor Arik was a famous Galicianer.
He's a Galicianer. What? Galicia is a region of Ashkenaz Europe. There you go. Okay, right. Good. Yeah, it's like Poland, Hungary, all these things like switched around a lot, you know.
Yes.
There you go. Right. And traditionally, Litvaks don't necessarily like Galicianos. Right? Don't ask me why. Okay? They don't learn well. He don't like how they are. You hear this among people. Oh, he learns like a Galicianer. Oh, God.
What?
Oh, he's calculated fuck. They have no soul. Not like us Galicianers. They have this, like, this weird feud going on. You know? This is like what you hear if you go to, like, Content Park. Right? It's like, okay, fine. V'nired ava gav derak l'shtamish kene gane nehu dos. Rav amotel eish alot mea or v'anagud ala keno kol nefesh. Mor v'shita mikubetet. Shagam v'shami v'd ladung nere v'yom. Tov ava gav lo tzvir lai mitoch shorot shalot zora kotronami shalot zora. Mishu machtai mida na orai yana chashuva krova lo kol nefesh. Mikom vakom harei haad loka in el shem kach. And then Rav Meir Arik says something, right? So he quotes Rav Meir Arik, who negates a possible argument. And that is, Rav Meir Arik, as he quotes it again, if you read the Tshuva, it's much longer than this, but fine. He quotes Rumeric, who says, what's the problem? Right? What's the immediate problem with saying that you're not, that you don't count this hadlaka as hana'a? Yom Tov. Right? And he says, what's the point? Here, what are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to sit near your candles?
No.
So he says, yes. Right? Because he says, the issur of getting hana'a from the candles is not absolute. Because you are allowed, as we'll see, to, right, you're not allowed to get direct benefit from next to the candle, but you can, at a distance, get certain types of benefits. So isn't that enough? So Meir Arik says no, right? For the purpose of Shemitah, he makes a jump. And this is, we're going to see, right, what I want you to see is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is setting up the possible avenues. Right, he says, right, there's two questions you have to ask. One is, are you allowed to get any hana from Hanukkah candles, right? Ancillary Hana'ah, right? That's the first question. But what's the second question of that? Is when we're defining, right, lighting, the Hana'ah, what is the relevant question? Is it that as soon as you're allowed to get Hana'ah from the candles, so then it's mutter for the purpose of Shemitah, or does it have to be the definition, the reason why you're doing that act, right?
It's for what?
Is for hana'a, right? So Meir Arik comes and he says, here, I'm going to tell you how to learn the sugya. By Hanukkah, you're allowed to get some types of hana'a, which are sort of secondary, right? But you're not allowed to light it l'shem hana'a. But on Shemitah, what does he think the heter of lighting candles is based on? L'shem hana'a, right? It must be that the lighting is defined as l'shem hana'a, and therefore, Shemitah and Hanukkah, the standards are going to be at odds.
Well, isn't it possible that Shemitah is like the purpose
of
something like
hana'a?
Wouldn't it make more sense for you to be
allowed to stream on your pencil? We'll see. That's what Rosh Hashanah is going to like it, right? Okay. But where would we have like a piece of evidence that's not true? By Yom Tov, where Lagavo is actually worse, for God is worse than for you, right? The het there is for you. Shemitah and Yom Tov are different. Very good. Okay. By the way, I should notice, and as we'll see, the Gemara has a very specific definition of why burning is mutter. It's called Hana'atanu Biuran Shaveh. The Gemara says that eating and burning are similar, or burning is similar to eating in an important way, which is the Hana'a happens at the same time as the destruction. Because when you eat something, you also destroy it. But it's mutter because the destructive process is the pleasurable process. Right? Right? I'm sure you've all experienced this. Right? Here. Experience it. Right? Eat it. Right? Look! He's destroying the chocolate and enjoying it at the same time. Hanatanu Biraran Shaveh. Look at that. What? Exactly. Murderer of chocolate. Right? Yeah. Okay, exactly. See, that was my point. Baruch Hashem. See? Show and tell, right? Right? In a
economy.
Yes. Right? So he quotes, at any rate, the Ridbaz who forbids and the Meir Arik who forbids because he says, listen, even if there are, as we'll see, certain types of hana'a you're allowed to get from Shemitah, sorry, from Hanukkah candles, what's relevant here is for what purpose you did it. Right? You have to light it, l'shem hana'a. Okay?
Does that have to be there the whole time the Hanukkah candles are there?
Maybe. We'll see. And then he says, v'torat ha'aret. In the Sefer Torah, right? So, Sif La'asor Gam Ner Shemadlichim L'chol Beit HaKnesset, Asher Mudalanot Me'or, he forbids using Shemitah oil even for shul. Why? Aren't you allowed to benefit from the light in shul? He says, yes, but Mikol Makom, Ikar Ha'adlaka, he L'chvod Beit HaKnesset V'lo Le'anot. He said, what's the main reason that you light candles in shul? For ambiance, right? For honor. And therefore, that's not enough. Nope, it has to be for hana'a, right? V'af al gav di'ika anan mitzvah shel kavod. And you'll say, isn't that the hana'a? V'yengezet or nirchanan mikol makom or nirvim zirchon di'ilav d'ravina mikad lo tochem ayasur l'avir omer v'shvi'id l'shrov et ha'komet v'shem drach l'achav lo z'l'sreifa. He says, I'll prove to you that a mitzvah isn't enough because Kovi keeps saying mitzvah, mitzvah, mitzvah. So here's the next sugya that you have to bring in, which is the Gemara Menachos says that you're allowed to use Shemitah produce for the Karban HaOmer because of Gzerat HaKatuv. So the Gemara says, why do I need a Gzerat HaKatuv? It's for mitzvah, right? What's the answer? Clearly, a mitzvah, not just in Yom Tov, but here we have a local proof that were it not from Gzerat HaKatuv, it would be usher to use it for. Exactly. Right, Uchmochen or Rav Chista, the Hema Shel Zmei Shvi, the Ptura Min Abachora, Mishrim Dei Murim Shel Bachor, Sal Ki Lega Bola, Achlam Rach Manav Lo Shreipa. It says, furthermore, I'll give you another example from Shemitah, from Bachorot, that, one second, that the animal of Shemitah, right, is Pater from a Bachor, right, because as we'll see later on, if you take money, which you buy Kedushat Shvi'it with, so the money becomes Kadosh Kedushat Shvi'it, and if you take the money and you buy an animal, the animal becomes Kadosh with Kedushat Shvi'it. Shvi'it is one of those things that once you start messing with the money, the Kedusha extends for all of eternity. Forever. Right? So if you go and be Isser, what? Until whatever, until, I mean, we'll see the exact parameters. And he says, so if you bought an animal with money from Kedushat Shavit, so now the animal is Kedushat from Kedushat Shavit, the animal is now not chayiv in Bechor, because it's going l'shamayim, l'gavoa, and the Gemara says that l'gavoa is not achila. Right? So you see in several places that l'shem mitzvah makes it worse. Right? L'fiza yanira duha din sha'asr l'chtov sefer Torah v'afatim shal shvi'it. He said, by the same logic, it should be usher to write a sefer Torah with Shemitah, ink, l'hashter tefillin, the tefillin shal shvi'it, kim and kamen lintz v'lach v'hanet, ninu. From gallnuts. Gallnuts. Afatim, it goes into Shemitah. And it goes into the ink. Right, other things, but you can make, but part of it, right? And he said you shouldn't be able to make the black and air for tefillin. What?
You get the general rule from a deity.
Right. Like I said, I understand. We do. Lochem v'lo lachla. Right? And then the Gemara says, lochem v'lo lagavoa. For you and not for God. Okay? So, we don't have a marker here. It's fine. Okay. But like I said, right? Now you see at least the conceptual directions you need to move in. Right? Which is in order to figure this out. What? It's fine, it's fine. It's a tomorrow. So now what Shlomo Zalman says, okay, but if we want to attack this, if we want to argue that you can use it. So again, remember, what I want to do is use the Shlomo Zalman Shuvah to open up the Sugya's here. Okay? So either we can change our understanding of the parameters of Achila, the parameters of Srefa, of Hana'ah, right? Or change our understanding of the Isser to benefit from Hanukkah candles, right? All those things are in play, right? In order for this to be usher, you need to put all the pieces together in the, right? In the proper way, right? Or to put it differently, right? You need one, in order to permit it, you either need to limit the scope of the prohibition of benefiting from Ner Hanukkah, right? Expand the permissions of Shemitah, right? Of Achilah Shemitah, right? Those are the two things you got to do. So in order to figure out, you need to figure out the parameters of the Isra and Hanukkah and the parameter. But, okay, so look at Aleph, right? I also, instead of copying from Bar-Ilan, I gave you the actual, right, like copy from Mishnah Shlomo, because as you can see, Shlomo Zalman, one of the reasons I love him, is extremely methodical. Right? He's like, here's conceptual question one, Aleph, here we go, let's deal with it, right? Fine. Yes. So he says, Viram, Yesh Lefak Pek Tuva Bahamilta. We won't necessarily read all of it, but I wanted you to see it as it's organized. So he says, Hein Amnam Nired Yavi Mishkachat Peiro. Let's read the title first. Hadlakat Shemet Shviit Lama'or L'Sorach Shimush Shasur La'asoto V'Perashviit. Okay? Lighting Shemitah oil for candles, for something that would be prohibited to do with says, first reason to doubt this is, as we will see, does all produce become kadosh b'kedushat shvi'it? No. Only things that are ra'ui l'achila. Right? And the Gemara has a machlok about eitzim. Right? But it's not things that are not meant for hana, right, may not become kadosh to begin with. Right, you can't misuse things, which is what Shlomo meant, right? Right, meaning you can't think, right? But something that was never meant for that, right? It's just not what it is, and we'll see at the beginning. The entire part of the question is going to be, what about things that could go either way? Right, they could be used as firewood, or they could be used as something else. And there, it might depend on how you relate to it, right? And then the Gemara has all types of fancy lumdos. Does it depend on what the seller thinks about, what the buyer thinks about, what if they think about different things? Does it depend when? So he says, what if something was only usable for a mitzvah?
What would be only usable for a mitzvah?
Theoretical construct. Let's say something was only usable for a mitzvah, or was meant only for a mitzvah. So then...
anything that would fall
Right, so then what? So then 1 second, so what does he say? Right? What would be the halacha? What do you think? So he said, presumably, kedusha shouldn't even, kedusha shouldn't even affect it. If it doesn't affect it, then it would be mutter to use, right? Because in order, he says the first question, you have to ask an earlier question, which is, in order for it to be usur, for to use the oil must be kadosh. But does the fact that it could be used for a mitzvah, does that maybe, right, prevent it from getting kedusha shvi such that we don't even have to deal with this, right? So he says, we show the time to Mitzrachin Shehano, Viro Shavem, and Eishas Rav, Yodum Yadachila, who was in Nami, Dmin and Dafka, Shiru Uyin, Lahana, Daguf, Vlo, Rach, Lahana, Mitzvah, Bilvai. He says, I'll prove to you that this is the case, because he says, listen, if something, in order, the nature of the Hana'a is defined as either eating, or Hana'a, which is parallel to eating, which is, as we saw from Mordechai's chocolate, where you get the Hana'a and the benefit together, right? So he said, but in theory, if something wasn't subject to that, right, that type of eating or benefit, then it wouldn't be kadosh at all, right? Because if and therefore he says, right, let's say that were the case. Let's say that burning wasn't considered hana, right? So then, but it might in theory still be mutter to burn it, right? Because why is it that there are limitations on the way you're allowed to use oil? Because on the one hand, it can be used for food, which means that it becomes kadosh. And once it becomes kadosh, there are limits on what you can use it for. But in theory, if it was only ra'ui for non-food purposes, then it would be mutter to burn also, right? Because it would never be kadosh, right? So the reason we have a halachic problem with oil is because on the one hand it's ra'ui for food, right? And therefore it's kadosh with kedusha shvi'i, and then there can be limitations, right? But he said the first thing you really have to establish is that we're in that category. So he says, va'asa v'chei agav nebi yom tov l'sorm ner shabbat al asr bi yom tov v'nami da asr l'havir eish bi yom tov abur tzorach chadash eino shavel chal adam ki rach l'tzorach hachi l'avur anash shavel chal nefesh yitzirak batov l'asot melech avalo avur mugmar urufua dino shavel chal nefesh. And he says, well, on yom tov it's asr to light a candle for no reason, right? So he says, maybe on Shemitah should automatically be usher to light something that's not for Hana, right? He says, that's not true. Why is that not true? Right, skip down one line. He says, Ulama chiluk u'pashut. This is obviously different from Yom Tov. Why? Did the Yom Tov mechashvin and rakim asurach asher ba'avuro mutar lasot melacha? Ashenkim b'shviyat kevan du derech hadlaka kamosha mutar v'hadlik shemen l'ra'ot eich le'echol. What they nami deshara v'ur kol tzorach shehu apilu avur Hana keileh Shinim chashovim shetachol beglalam kedushat shvi. Shlomo Zalman says two things. First of all, right, by Shemitah you need to ask whether it ever became kadosh. Right? Now, ostensibly the answer to that question probably is
yes.
And then he goes and he says, okay, but based on this theoretical analysis, I can prove something else, which is, there are two reasons why it might be mutter to light Shemitah oil on fire. One is because, like Yom Tov, really the only thing that's mutter is eating, and then we expand eating to include other categories. Right? That's one possibility. Second possibility is that Hadlaka on Shemitah is not considered forbidden to begin with, right? Meaning, we know that eating is mutter, we know that burning is mutter under certain circumstances. The question is, are those mutter for the same reason? Meaning, really the only thing that's mutter is eating, and then we expand eating, or when the Mishnah says that Shemitah is mutter to burn it, right, to light a candle, that's because Shemitah doesn't have the same parameters as Yom Tov. It's not just eating, it's eating and lighting, right? There's a list of things you're allowed to do, right? What's the nafka mina? Right? If it's eating and the expansion of eating, then just like on Yom Tov, we've got to figure out, is it hana'ah, then you'd have to figure out here whether that's the case. But he says, on the other hand, you might say that no. Shemitah, unlike Yom Tov, the rule is that there's a list of things you're allowed to do. One of them is eating. One of them is lighting Shemitah oil.
It's not random,
but it's not merely an expansion of Akilah, right? And therefore, it might be mutter. And he says, why would I think that's true? He said, why would that happen, right? Why does he think that this might be the case? Because he says, as I mentioned before, on Yom Tov, are you allowed to light a candle to cook food for a non-Jew? No. Lochem v'lo l'nachrim. Right? But in Shemitah, he assumes
there should be a 12 o'clock.
But on Shemitah, 11:45. On Shemitah, he thinks that would be mutter. Why? So Rosh Hashanah assumes this because he says on Yom Tov, right, he makes the following first leap. He says on Yom Tov, the heter is an expanded achiva. On Shviyat, he thinks it's a direct heter of hana, and therefore, if a Jew wants to cook for a non-Jew, and therefore needs to turn on the light so he can do that, he's allowed to do that.
What?
On Shemitah. Right? So Shlomo Zalman argues that, right, his first line of argumentation is that on Yom Tov, lighting a fire is an expansion of Achila. And therefore, it's only mutter if it can fit into the framework of being considered an expanded Achila. On Shemitah, he thinks that Hadlaka is its own category, which is mutter, and therefore, it's more expansive, right? That's his first move. Okay?
As long as you're getting some form of...
Correct. As long as you're getting some benefit.
Wait, but if you're getting any benefit from it and you're only
hearing your tester, the non-Jewish family is long. Right. So what's the machadesh? He's machadesh, right? That on Shemitah, right, the reason you're allowed to light the candle is because there's an independent heter hana, and therefore all I need to do is explain how the Jew benefited, not how he benefited in a way that is an expansion of achila. Right? Where do you draw the line? So in the next paragraph, see, this is the thing about Rosh Hashanah, is you always know what's the next, you always know what question is going to deal with in the next paragraph. So Kobe says, wait a second, do you really mean that? How far do you take this? And he says, Rosh Hashanah's next paragraph is, what? So what does he say? Very far. How far? Look at the next paragraph. V'od yoter nir em yizet zefir nir l'vine da'adi. Shigam hamadlik shemen shoshvi l'ro l'kalkel l'shvor kli apokav shu avirav over abal tashvin v'komokav madlak ad ha-shemen in over kval l'shvor hefzit per shvi kim shem hidlik l'tzarcho v'zachecha yitro. Okay, so, okay, if we had a marker, I'll have to put it up tomorrow, right? So the first conceptual question he says is, fact, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to eat shmita produce, and you're allowed to light it on fire. Parallel that to Yom Tov. So first question he asks is, okay, on Yom Tov we know that the heter to burn it is an expansion of the achila, and therefore the hana'ah needs to be defined as hana'ah that is somehow expansive from food, right, from eating. Is the heter to light shemitah oil like that or not? Rosh Hashanah argues, it is not. It is an independent heter to benefit through sreifa. And therefore he says, I think it's more expensive. How expensive, you ask? So what did this paragraph just say? How expensive? Even if it's usher. So he says, if so, what does he say? He says, let's say someone is really angry, and therefore he feels like smashing a bunch of things on the floor just as he feels like it. We call that in halakha, bal tashvin. Right? Don't enjoy things wantonly. So Rosh Hashanah says, let's say I turn on the kerosene Shemitah, whatever, the Shemitah oil lamp in order to find things to break, right, and violate Baal Tashvin. So he says, it's clear you're not supposed to break it to the Baal Tashchet. But is that an usher reason to use the oil on Shemitah? What does he say?
No.
He says, because on Shemitah, Hana'ah is independent of Achila. And therefore, even if it's Hana'ah for something which is usher, Shlomo Zalman says, when you turned on your oil lamp to find that thing that you want to break, or whatever, right? Right? You guys get in a fight, right? You would never fight, right? It's you're fighting, and then words, there's a blackout. So you're already heightened, you know, tempers are inflamed, right? Okay, whatever, that was probably the wrong word there, but fine, pun not intended, fine, right? And you, right, you decide, right? Mordechai decides he needs to find Kobi to punch him, right? So he, but he needs to find him to make sure that he punches the right person.
Yeah.
So Mordechai lights his olive oil lamp of Shemitah oil in order to find Kobi to attack him, right? Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, you shouldn't be attacking Kobi, but don't worry, when you lift the oil, it was mutter.
Oh, okay.
I kid you not. That's what he said. Right? But what? Right? Because he's being machadi. Right? That, right? He's machadi. Right? Now again, he's machadi therefore that despite the fact that both in Yom Tov and Shemitah, we have a heter for food and a heter for lighting candles, and in Yom Tov it's viewed as an expansion of Achila, and therefore only certain types of Hana'ah count. Rosh Shlomo Zalman argues that that's not true by Shemitah. By Shemitah, when we say you're allowed to eat it and you're allowed to burn it, we don't mean it's because burning is an expansion of Achila. What do we mean?
It's
an independent heter called...
You're also allowed to burn.
Bidiyuk. And therefore he says, so first move is to say, how limiting is the heter of burning? Right? And now, once he says that, one second, so let's just finish his line of argument, and then I'll take it. So he says, well, if Mordechai's allowed, from the vantage point of Shemitah, to light a candle in order to find Kobi to punch him in the face, he's not allowed to punch him in the face, but he is allowed to light a candle to punch him in the face. Right? Right? That's good lumpus for you, right? That's like... So then, what if Shlomo Zalman comes up with that radical head there, then what does he do? He says, in kvar azvar. If that's mutter, then it's definitely mutter, naniach, to light the candle. Mordechai thinks better of it, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to light my candle, my oil lamp, to punch Kobi. I'm going to do it to Lord Nazir in the blackout with Yaakov. So he says, well, if it's mutter from the vantage point of Shemitah to turn on the flame to find Kobi to punch him, then Kal v'chomer is mutter to light a flame to learn Torah. Oh, you'll tell me, but how could you do that? Isn't that a mitzvah? He'll say, okay, but once you said that the hadlaka for Shviyat is mutter as long as you need Hana'ah, and it's not Hana'ah which is defined as Achila, it's just Hana'ah. So from that vantage point, Kobi's Kal v'chomer was right. Right? Because remember, we said, how could it be that something is mutter for reshut, right, to eat, but not l'shem mitzvah? The answer is, if the only heter is achila, so then mitzvah doesn't count as achila. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, but you conceptualize the heter to burn shemitah not as a subset of achila, in which case mitzvah is worse than non-mitzvah, right? But you conceptualize the heter to light shemitah oil as an independent heter of hana'ah, so then there's Hana'ah, which is like base Hana'ah, right? Like, I feel like punching Kobi, right? Or I feel like eating, right, or whatever. But he says, once, if it's independent heter, so then is Hana'ah for a mitzvah better or worse?
Better.
Better, right? He says the only time that Hana'ah for a mitzvah is worse is when what you're trying to do is Hana'ah, which is defined as Achila. Right, and therefore he says, once you say that, and he says, "V'afal gav chuvah inenem uvistameh mod lasot raton aborei barach shemo." Right, mikol makom. And he says, "It's true that you enjoy, as Kobi said before, I enjoy doing God's will. Right, it makes me happy. It makes me feel good inside. Mikol makom ena na zubichal anot shasar Torah. Because Makar, Makengin, Madam Shem Shafiq, the last of Mitzvah, Lo Matar, Chashuk Vatak, Madam Mahazahan. Right? He says, in this context, that is definitely the type of thing you're allowed to do in this context. In the context of Shemitah, sorry, I skipped the line. And he says, okay, I go back. He says, even though normally we have a rule of mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu, that mitzvah are not given for hana'ah, and therefore you might say that objectively speaking, this hana'ah doesn't count. He says, that's not true here, because by Shemitah, the way he conceptualizes it, is that any type of hana'ah is enough to define it as halakha, which is mutar. And he said, in that context, Kobe's very firm statement, which is, I love doing mitzvah, I love learning Torah, he says, obviously it's mutar, right? So the first conceptual question Shlomo Zalman asks is, again, and this is why I'm opening up sugya, is, fact one we know is, you're allowed to eat shemitah produce. Fact two is you're allowed to burn it. The first conceptual question Shlomo Zalman wants you to ask is, okay, but is this heter of hadlaka an expansion of achila, in which case the type of anah that's relevant is only the type that benefits a person in a physical sense, just like on Yom Tov? Or is it independent? Lamayna, Gemina. If it's a hana'ah, which is an expansion of achila, it has to be physical as opposed to spiritual enjoyment, right? But if it's an independent heter of burning, right? So then the standards of accounts of hana'ah are expansive, and in that context, mitzvah is better, not worse.
I heard you talk this way between whether you care about them or not, like whether you're having kavana to get.
So we'll get to that, right? So this is Rosh Hashanah's first move. Okay? This is Rosh Hashanah's first move. We're going to see. So just, we're going to stop here. What? Yes. We're going to stop here, but as you see, the next three questions he's going to ask are, one is, Hanav Mitzvah Le'er Shviyit, Shimush Per Shviyit Le'Tzorchei Gavoa, right? And Hayim Asr Adloko Nebri Shem Shviyit Mishum Shuk Tal Mitzvah. Okay?
Yashika.
Fantastic.